Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It feels different being in here without everybody, and it just doesn't feel right. And we want you to know how much we miss coming together as the people of God and being able to see one another and encourage one another and lift one another up. And we hope we never get used to this setup where we are separated. We know that the Bible says that we're to come together, but under the current circumstance, we understand why we're meeting this way. But we hope that we look forward to the day that we can all be together. I know I long for it, where we can study together and help each other as we make our way from this earth to heaven. We ask that you remember the sick in your prayers, and we ask that you continue to remember our elders in your prayers, and that you remember those who are grieving. And we need to continue to try to check on one another and do those things that edify and help one another. And I'm thankful for the encouragement I've received from you, and I appreciate so much your love for the truth. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the Gospel of Luke in the 5th chapter, we'll read beginning at verse 1 through verse 11, and we'll be talking about Jesus as he decides to call some men to be his disciples. Begin with me in Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they come and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. At this time, you'll find some individuals who had been out fishing. They had brought their boats back to the dock, and they're docking their boats, and they're washing their nets. And these individuals were professional fishermen. And I've often tried to think about them going out into the night, fishing all night, and catching nothing. How discouraged they must have been when they brought their empty nets back. They docked the boats, and they began to clean their nets for the next night's work. They knew that they would not make any money at that time, and as that being their occupation, I'm sure they were a bit discouraged. However, when they looked up, they saw Jesus walking beside the lake. And as Jesus was walking beside the lake, you find a great multitude following him. And the Bible says the multitudes were great. So Jesus used this opportunity to teach about the kingdom of God. He requests to use Simon's boat, and he launches out a little way. And you find that he uses the boat as a pulpit to proclaim the kingdom of God. And can you envision what it would have been like to see Jesus as he is on the Sea of Galilee, or in the Lake of Gennesaret, which is the same body of water, and there he is proclaiming the gospel. And can you imagine hearing his voice and seeing him there teaching the people? But at this time, you'll find, as he's teaching the people, that there is the individual standing on the seashore. And Jesus comes back, and he tells Peter to launch out into the deep and to let down his net. Now, Peter would have to know there would be a risk of doing such, that other fishermen would laugh at him if he went out and caught nothing. Here was a man whose occupation was a fisherman. He knew the best time to fish was at night. He knew the best place to fish would be in shallow water. And yet here he is going out at the daytime, and he's going to let down his net in the deep. And yet you know that when he does so, the Bible says that the catch was so great that he signaled for another boat, and they begin to fill the boats, and they both begin to sink. I've often tried to picture what it would have been like to have been standing on the side of the sea, to be there by the lake and to see those boats begin to sink. And can you imagine when Peter got back to the land and he falls down at the feet of Jesus, you see great humility. This man who showed faith and said, at your word, I'll do what you said, comes back and he sees the power that Jesus had and he falls at his feet. I like his humility. But if you'll note, when you read your Bible in verses 3, 4, and 5, that each time you'll find that Simon Peter is just referred to as Simon. But when you get down to verse 8, he's referred to as Simon Peter, Peter meaning rock. And then you'll find that the Lord speaks to Peter. Notice what the Lord has to say to this man in the Gospel of Luke and the 5th chapter, after Peter said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." After we see Peter's humility, we see that he realizes his own sinfulness. Notice that Jesus looked at that man, and notice Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid." Though he just saw a great, powerful demonstration by Jesus, Jesus said, "Do not be fearful." Then Jesus says, "From now on, you will catch men." If you have your Bible, underscore that phrase, "from now on." I think that that is a powerful statement. From now on, or as you might say, from this moment on, Peter will have a different job, a different commission. He'll no longer be going out to the sea to catch fish, but the Lord said, "You will now go out and fish for men and catch men and bring them into the kingdom of God." You have a new commission, Peter. You will be one of my disciples, and you'll find that he would later be one of the apostles chosen by Jesus Christ, that he was commissioned by the Lord to be one with apostolic authority. And I want you to think about that Jesus is saying, do not be afraid of the change that's about to happen in your life. Then the Bible says something that is greatly impressive to me. In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 5th chapter, notice that after Jesus said, do not be afraid, from now on you'll catch men, notice they brought their boats back to the land in verse 11, then they forsook all and followed him. You want to talk about faith? Look at these individuals leaving their nets, leaving their boats, leaving their occupation, and they say, we will follow Jesus. We've been commissioned to follow Jesus and catch men. From now on, Peter had a different occupation. And I thought about how that statement really impressed me when Jesus said, from now on. You know, there comes what we might call defining moments in our life where we realize we need to make a change, that there's something that we need to change, the direction in our life. And thus, when I read those words from Jesus, I think about from this moment on, I can make a change. I'm no longer going to live the way I used to live, but I'm going to do something that gives God glory. I'm going to forsake my old life and live for God. That's what Peter did. And you'll find other incidents in the New Testament where men gave up their occupation. They left to follow Jesus. Look at the man, if you will, in the book of Matthew and the 9th chapter, identified as Matthew. In Matthew chapter 9, you'll find that Jesus is passing by. It says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man. Now the man's name is Matthew, and he's sitting at the tax office. Now stop there for just a moment. I wonder how many Jews had passed by and saw Matthew, but because of his occupation as a tax collector, they didn't see anything but someone identified as a thief. In that day and time, if one collected money for the Roman power, and oftentimes at an exorbitant rate, they would pocket some. Here was a Jew working for the Roman government. The Jews would look with them on with disdain. But notice at this time, Jesus looked at this man, and he saw a man who could change. And notice the Bible says, he saw Matthew sitting there, and notice that Jesus said, follow me. And notice the Bible said in verse 9, he arose and followed him. From that moment on, Matthew changed his life. No longer would he be going about doing whatever that was doing before. No matter what he'd done prior to his life, now he had changed. Notice at this time, from this moment on, Matthew was going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will, in the book of Acts and the 9th chapter. In the book of Acts and the 9th chapter, you have Saul of Tarsus going to Damascus to persecute Christians. Here was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a man who knew the law and dedicated to the law of Moses, who did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. But on his way to Damascus, you remember, he has the vision. And Jesus asked him a question. He said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And you remember in the book of Acts in the 9th chapter that Saul had a question. Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And in verse 5, Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And so here Saul, trembling and astonished, asked a second question. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." Now notice at this time he still hadn't changed his life. But notice he goes into the city of Damascus. And you'll remember there's a man identified as Ananias who comes to him. And Ananias tells that man what he needs to do to make his life right with God. Ananias, when Saul later accounts his conversion, gives a recount of his conversion, he talks about that Ananias in Acts 22:16 says, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, we identify Saul as Paul. That's his Roman name. But I often thought about how that man made a change. From that moment on, he never went back to the law of Moses, but he became a follower of Jesus Christ. He went out into Damascus and began to preach immediately. And you remember that they sought to put him to death. Here was a man who at one time was a persecutor of the way, and now he's a preacher of the way. He is preaching Jesus as the Son of God. Have you ever thought that was a defining moment in the life of that man? From that moment on, he made such a great change. He went from persecuting Christians to becoming a Christian, to being one who went about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, even when people persecuted him, even though people put stripes on his body, even when they stoned him at Lystra and left him for dead. What a change in the life of that man. From that moment on. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to think about something else. There were some who were unwilling to change when they had an opportunity to do so. That there was a defining moment in their life where they could make a change, and from that moment on, they could become a disciple of Christ, but they chose not to do so. You can look in your Bible in the book of Acts, in the 24th chapter, and you'll find a man identified as Felix. And you remember in Acts 24, in about verses 23 to 25, you'll find that Paul is preaching to that man. And you remember that as that man heard the gospel, and as that man listened to Paul's preaching, the Bible says he trembled. I've often thought about a man who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he trembled or was afraid. Look, if you will, carefully in Acts 24 and verse 25. As Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid or trembled and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." That man was not willing to say, "From this moment on, from this time on, I'll change. I'll live differently." No, that man said, "I'll look for a more convenient time to make my change. I'm not going to do it now." Then if you take your Bible, turn over a chapter and look in the book of Acts in the 26th chapter, or two chapters, and notice what he says in Acts 26. When Paul is standing before Agrippa, and as he is making his case against Agrippa, when Agrippa is questioning him about his teaching, you remember that Paul said to him at that time, "Agrippa, I know you believe the prophets." And Agrippa looked at him. And in your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 26th chapter, in verse 28, Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." You know that's a sad statement. When someone says, "Almost." "Paul, what you're saying is very convincing. Paul, I understand what the prophet said. And Paul, I recognize what you're saying was about the Messiah. But Paul, I'm not going to change. But you've almost persuaded me." That man was not willing to say, "From this moment on, I'll make my life right with God." Or you can look in the New Testament again in Matthew 19, where there's a rich young ruler who comes up to Jesus. And he falls at the feet of Jesus. That shows humility. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one's good but the Father. And then he begins to explain to him that he needs to keep the commandments. He's talking about the old law, which was still binding at that time. Jesus had not been put to death yet. And you remember when Jesus gives certain commandments, that young man said, I've kept those from my youth up. What lack I yet? But there's one commandment Jesus didn't say in there. He did not say, thou shalt not covet. Because here was a young man who had great possessions. And when Jesus said, go sell what you have and give it to the poor and come follow me, he was not willing, like Peter or Paul, to forsake all to follow Jesus. He was not willing to get up as Matthew did and say, from this moment on, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. But that man loved his possessions more than he did God. I've often thought about that man not willing to change. I want us to think about, for us, for just a few moments, how we can apply that to our life. How will you live from this moment on is very important. Are we going to be people that live for ourselves and do our thing in our way, or are we going to be people that live for Christ? Do we live for the world, or do we live for the King? And how will we live the rest of our life? What purpose do we have in life? Are we going to follow Him even if it's at a great price? Because I'll tell you something, He paid a great price so we can follow Him. That's why in Matthew 16:24, he said, whosoever desires to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to be what? My disciple. Let him deny self, take up his cross, and follow me. I'll tell you, from this moment on, would you be willing to deny self and put Christ first? There are some who may be members of the church at O'Neill who've been members here. Their name's in the directory and they've been attending for years. But my question isn't, are you in the directory? My question this evening is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are we following the King? Are we putting forth the effort to give God glory? And if not, from this moment on, we can change and we can say, Christ comes first. Secondly, you know what the problem with a lot of people are? They're afraid to let go of the world. They're afraid they'll miss something. But I'll tell you what you miss when you let go of the world. You miss a lot of heartache and a lot of the lies of this world. You know, sin is fun or it would not be tempting, but we forget to see the end is death. In Romans 6:23, you remember that the Apostle Paul said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I like that statement. Notice eternal life is a gift. You don't earn it. What we've earned, he said, is death, separation from God for eternity. But what God's willing to give those who from this moment on follow Him is eternal life. From this moment on. So many people live for instant gratification. And they won't let go of the world. But I'll tell you something, my friend. If we stand lost in the judgment day, we have no one to blame but ourselves because we would not let go of the world and from the moment we heard of Christ, give up the world to follow Him. From this moment on, some of us need to be more dedicated to the cause of Christ. From this moment on, some of us need to make sure that we're putting Him first, above family, above obligation, above work, above everything. He comes first in our life. And I'll tell you, we need to learn that when we forsake all to follow Him, that's a small price to pay to be a child of God and to have the hope of heaven. You know, I'm fearful that some people look for what we might call a padded cross. They want easy Christianity. That's never promised in Scripture. There are times when it's very difficult to hold on to your faith and very difficult to be a child of God. It's very difficult to follow the will of God. And there are times when our faith is weak and we struggle to hold on. But I tell you, it's always too soon to quit. And what we need is to rededicate our life to God and realize that there's no such thing as easy Christianity. There's no such thing as a convenient Christianity. But there's such thing as conviction in our Lord. And with great conviction, we say, from this moment on, I'll follow Him. From this moment on, I'll be subject to my King. From this moment on, He's first in my life. And I say, from this moment on, I'm not just talking about to the end of our days on earth. From now on, I want to be able to praise Him. And if I want to praise Him in eternity, I have to start at this moment to follow Him. Because so many people like Felix and Agrippa say, one day I'll do it. Or, oh, most you persuade me. And they miss out on the joy of being a child of God. You ever thought about the joy of being a Christian and having your sins forgiven and knowing that you're right with God? There's great comfort and peace to be able to pillow your head at night and know that you are a child of God. And to be able to wake up every moment and say, from this moment on, I'm going to give Him my life. I'm going to forsake all to follow Him. I hope that as we think about being children of God, that we realize that we need to have the humility to see our sin, ask God to forgive us, and say, from this moment on, I'm going to be His child. Let's think about those things. Let's pray for just a moment. Our Father, we're so thankful for this day, and we're so thankful for the time we've had to study Your Word. We're so thankful for the examples of the individuals who have changed their life, who were willing to give up their occupation, who are willing to give up their place in life, their position of authority, wherever they may have been, to put You first. We're thankful, Father, that they have left an example that we should also remember to put You first. And from this moment on, serve Your Son as our King, as our Master. And we're so thankful, Father, for the fact that He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. And if we follow in His steps, they'll lead us home. Oh God, help us to one day be with You in heaven for all eternity. This we pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus our Savior. Amen.